I lay that down there and I'll forget. But we'll do what we do. That better? Well, before I left home this morning, there was activity on my cell phone, which I don't carry with me up here. I leave it in the office so it doesn't disturb me. Even when they just vibrate, it still disturbs me. I wonder what's wrong. And there was already active on one of the apps that we use, and praising God, wishing happy wishes to mothers in our family, but also praising God for our godly mother. I have four sisters, and we are very agreed that God blessed us with a heritage, both father and mother, both with the Lord, enjoying Mother's Day more today than ever. But they left something behind that has blessed us. Not everybody had that kind of a mother. But you know, we can be grateful for those who did, because they've gone on to bless others. And so whether you're here or online, may this be a special day for you mothers. I want to speak primarily to mothers. That would include grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and great-great-grandmothers if you're still hanging around, whatever the case may be. But I'm quite anxious not to be a great-grandmother, but I will be, Lord willing, a great-grandfather very soon this month. And we're waiting for her to be a new mom. I don't know if she's listening in today or not, but we're thinking of her, and for sure. I'm sure you all heard about the mother who just had 9 babies. Absolutely stunning. They even had some pictures. 9 babies at once. That's a ball team. Can you imagine giving birth? Actually, maybe birth would be easier because it would be released, but having that many in you, absolutely amazing. I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember at the very beginning when my wife was expecting. There was surprise, there was excitement, there was anticipation. There were thoughts about her being a mom and what is that all going to entail, and what's it going to be like, and you don't know. It's great to be a parent some days. You all know that, don't you? Kids can surprise you. Kids can do things that you never thought they would do. And then they can do other things that are just absolutely amazing. But once you're a mom or a dad, where do you go from there? What's next? As born again children of Christ Jesus, followers of Him, recognize Him as our Savior and our Lord, what is next? So as I talk to moms, much of it also can be reminded for dads. So I've listed several things that are foundational in raising children, in my opinion. So let me begin with the first one, and it is, consider your foundation in Christ Jesus. And I'm only going to refer to 2 verses. There's so much about our relationship to God and the importance of that relationship with God to be part of that foundation. I'm going to look at the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You probably can quote it. That's where I'm going to start. I was going to read the whole chapter, but I'll just leave it for now. But as a parent, we really set the foundation and the direction for our child or children. The way we live is the greatest influence on them. We have them those very early years, and I really encourage parents to spend as much time with their children while they're small and build into them everything you can, not by just what you say, but what you live. Your absolutes, the principles that drive you, the values that you hold, your worldview, because before long, they will get the worldview of the world. And we need to help them to have a godly, biblical worldview. And if we don't have it, we will not have anything to pass on to them. So how we live the Christian life is the strongest influence on them first. We need to encourage them and teach them about what it is to be born again and how we once had to be born again, how we needed to know our relationship to God by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. So as we come to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, as a child of God, Paul wrote and he said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, present yourself, present your body as a living sacrifice, present your whole being to God, surrender yourself to Him. Let Him be Lord and Master of your life. Let Him set the rules. Let Him set the direction. Let Him and His Word give you the instruction and the purpose of your life. Very necessary. Present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Yield to Him as Lord and Master. Living and explaining the Lordship of Jesus Christ, what that means to you, and then what it should mean to them. Goes on and says, holy and acceptable to God, choosing to be set apart from the world, choosing to be set apart unto God. That's a major step in our life. In fact, it goes on and says, that's your reasonable service or your spiritual worship, whichever translation you use. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't fit into the world so that you as a Christian can't be seen as any different than those in the world who don't know Christ. Moms, dads, we need to stand out in the world as being followers of Jesus. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I appreciated what Henry said about being careful of the things that come into our home, on the internet, on the television. Some of those are good and some of those are not good. We need to be careful what goes into our mind. We need to not only live with a renewed mind, but we need to keep working at renewing our mind and helping the children understand what that means. And as a parent, we need to monitor what they are watching, what they're taking in, what they're reading, all of those things, because that will transform their mind one way or another, toward God or contrary to God. And that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. That testing is, we start to live it and practice it, and we need to discover how it is good and acceptable and right. We need to want that. We need to consider the foundation that we lay ourselves by who we are in Christ Jesus. Number two, I think there's five, in case you're counting. I know you are now. That gives you something to do when I'm talking. Number two, consider Mary, that's the mother of Jesus, Mary's foundation that she reveals to us of God's character, found in Luke chapter 1. In her song of praise to God, she, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, and I will refer to the verses as we go through, so if you want to turn to there and follow along, but she gives us several characteristics of the foundation that God's character gives to us. It's so important we know who God is. Number one, in verse 46, God is to be worshiped. Our children need to be taught to worship God. It says, she magnifies God. The word magnifies is a continuous action. It isn't just happen on Sundays that she praises God. It is praise to God all the time. To magnify is to praise, to adore, to appreciate, to lift up in one's attitude. We need to do this ourselves. Mothers, you need to learn to praise, to adore, to appreciate, to lift up God in our attitude. And then to recognize how we can pass that on to our children. It's not enough to tell them. We need to practice it. Walking through everything that we experience day to day, whether it's outside or inside or whatever, there are always opportunities to find to praise God, and we need to do that. We need to talk about His greatness. Secondly, verse 47, God is the only Savior of our soul. Our kids need to know. They need to understand that every one of us are sinners and that sin keeps us from God. They need to be taught that the only thing that sin earns, the wages of sin, is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They need to know Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We need to know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Parents, we need to teach our children that. The third one, verse 48 and 53, God cares for all people. He cares for the poor, He cares for the rich, He cares for the humble, He cares for the proud. He may not approve of all of their action, but He cares for them. Mary saw herself as a humble servant of a great and caring God. She humbly considered the Lord's mercies, the Lord's grace, the Lord's love. God's love reaches every age of person. Every race, every creed, every social status, it does not matter where we fit into where, He cares. He cares so much that He loves the whole world. For God so loved the world, that includes you and me, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish eternally, but have eternal life. We need to pass that on to our children. Verses 49 and 51, God is mighty, God is strong, God is holy. There's none like Him. We need to teach our children that God can handle every one of our concerns, our fears, and our problems. They need to know that when they have an issue, they can go to God about it. He is our refuge and strength when we face trouble. He is our protector. He is our deliverer from the things that are hard in life. He is faithful. He can be trusted to love and care for us. Mary in her care of presenting God for who he is, when it says he is holy. He abhors sin. He loves righteousness. We need to teach our children the difference. We need to recognize when we don't act properly in front of them. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful how we respond. We need to be careful about anger. We need to be careful about all these things. We are children of a holy God, and he wants us to live holy lives. Verse 50, God is merciful and deserves our respect. Parents, be careful how you refer to God. He is not the man upstairs. He is the living God. And he needs to be treated with respect and reverence. And any time that we speak about God in a belittling manner, we are going contrary to his word. Be careful what we teach. He deserves respect. He is the creator, the sustainer of this world, all creation. Verse 55, God communicates with his people. Let your kids see you reading the Word of God. Let them listen to you quoting the Word of God. God communicates with us through his Word, the Bible. It is his living word. It's his letter to us. It is his instruction to us. It is all that we need for life and godliness. We need his word within us. Now, we communicate with him through prayer. We need to teach our children how to pray, that they can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. He's always present. His word says he hears and answers the prayers of his children. We need so much to help our children to learn how to pray. Number 3. You may have heard of Hannah. Not Hannah Hepworth. Oh, you may have heard of her too. Sorry, Hannah, I didn't mean to just mention your last name. But Hannah in the Bible couldn't have a child. So I want you to think about Hannah's foundation of faith, so essential to how we live. Hannah believed God was sovereign and omnipotent. She knew that she could go to God and pray and God would hear. She didn't know how God would answer, but she trusted God by faith that he would answer. She asked for a child, and God gave her a child, and his name was Samuel. Now, she made a promise to God that if God gave her a child, she would give her child back to him. That's a struggle for parents. They often don't want their child to leave. And yet all through their life, we teach them how to be independent, how to grow up, how to become mature, and then we don't want them to go. And then I've met others who say, "But I can't wait till kids leave home." I have a struggle with that. Keep loving your kids as long as they're available to love. Treat them with kindness and mercy. She was unable to have a child. God gave her a child, called his name Samuel, and then she had to take that child back to the temple and leave him with the priest Eli, where he was going to be taught and trained and eventually called to serve God that would impact the whole of the people of Israel. Amazing. And she knew, she believed that God could use her child. That's amazing. He can. And we need to be able to let them go to be with God. One of the things that bothers me today is parents will often ask, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or just follow your passion. What if their passion is against God? Why not teach them to follow God's passion? Why not teach them to want to be what God wants them to be? We need to ask the other question. What's God's passion for your life? What does God want you to be in life? Hannah believed God was sovereign. She trusted God. Her faith was real. Hannah had a vital relationship with the Lord. She knew that he would respond. Hannah knew that children were alone from God, and she was willing to give her child back to the Lord God Almighty. And as she believed that God could use her child, that was very important when he was left to live with Eli the priest, because Eli had two disobedient sons who would be a bad influence on Samuel. But she knew God was bigger. Folks, God is always bigger than those who might influence our kids away. We just need to entrust them to him, and we need to keep praying for them in Christ Jesus, and we need to teach them everything we can while we can, and let God take care of them. There's a comment that was made. I have no idea where I got it, but I've used it many times. Listen carefully. What we give to God, he takes. What he takes, he uses. And what he uses, he blesses. I love that. You give it to God, he takes it. And when he takes it, he uses it, whatever it is. And what he uses, he blesses. And God is never any man's debtor. Number four. Consider the foundation of God's gifting. Now, I had to stretch this just a little bit, and I did borrow some of this from somebody else. But there's a woman that I've come to know and appreciate, and she wrote this article in the Evangelical Baptist back about, I don't know, probably 15, 20 years ago. And I have a copy of it, and so I was reading through stuff on Mother's Day and different things, and I thought, well, I'll just use that. And I have to give her credit, so I will mention her name. Her name is Elsie Montgomery, and just so happens that I went to high school with her brother. But I really appreciate her, a godly woman. And she used the gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And there are several spiritual gifts. Now, she didn't have all the gifts, and she didn't profess to, but what she did when she read them, she saw them as motivational to her to practice these things with her family to the degree that she could. The first one is prophecy. Now, it helps to know the meaning of the word. Prophecy means to tell forth, to proclaim the truth, righteousness, and judgment of God. That's what parents need to teach. We need to teach our children. We need to proclaim the word of God, the truth. We need to proclaim it. We need to tell them and explain to them how it applies to their daily life. And that was her concern, that she would be true to God's word and that she would do whatever she could to help them to understand God's word, because it is profitable for righteousness and for other things in their life as well. The second gift is service. This is primarily a desire to serve and meet the practical needs of others. It's wonderful to see people with a servant heart, a desire to care for others, happy to serve their family, yes, in all the ways possible, but also willing to give themselves to other people as well. I've been told by many people at different times that, well, someone just is taking a break from parenting. They need some time and space for themselves. I can't find that for parents biblically. If I'm a parent, I'm a parent as long as a parent is needed. And that's what we must be and do. Bring a child into the world and then leave it alone? Not biblical. People who want to serve one another need to also learn to serve their family. Not to be run over, but to be a servant to their children. My mom was a good servant. My mom was a great prayer. My mom had faith. I'm so grateful. She was there whenever I needed her. And if she wasn't there, something was wrong. I was so grateful. When I came home from school, wherever I had been, if she wasn't there, something was wrong. So guess where I went next? To Grandma's. She also knows. Bless her dear heart. Love the Lord. Service. Teaching. This emphasizes gathering and validating information. Seeking to know God's word. Excuse me. And to teach it line upon line, as the Bible says, precept upon precept, little by little, constantly building and helping our child to understand God's word, how they are to walk, how they are to work, how they are to be an influence in their world. And in Deuteronomy, it says we're to teach the word of God in everything we're doing all the time, walking, talking, working, sitting, laying down. Wherever we are, as we're moving about, we're teaching. And we are by example, if not verbally. Third one, exhorting. Or fourth one, if you're counting. Showing their children how to apply truth in daily life. You know, it's one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing for us to help them to understand how that fits into this argument with your sister, how that fits into that lie you told, how that fits into what you took from that store. All those things are part of teaching the Word of God, the holiness of God, and the standard of God, because they will give account to God. And then giving with generosity. This relates to sharing our substance with others. Teaching children how to share with each other. Many children today have so many things, they don't have to hardly share anything except the one that the other brother wants or the sister wants. Otherwise, they've got more than enough stuff. But to teach them to give generously, to give generously to others in need. As a parent, we need to teach it and live it, as well as help our children to know it's an important thing. And then leading with zeal or diligence, helping children learn to plan and organize, to be able to put some things together that will help them to learn to be a good manager of everything that God gives them. That they might be very good managers of what God blesses them with, because they are going to, again, as I said, give account. The last one is mercy, compassion, kindness with cheerfulness. We need to be, to teach them how to be sympathetic as well as empathetic. How to care about others in a very practical manner. How to be gracious, how to be tender, how to be kind and compassionate. But as a parent, we need to demonstrate it as well as talk about it. The last one is consider the foundation of a godly heritage. And I have to look at 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul wrote to Timothy and talked about him having a genuine faith, an unfeigned faith. And I like the definition of a sincere or without wax type of thing. If you haven't heard about that, then I'll just explain it very quickly. And that is when pottery was made and it was put through the heat, sometimes it would crack. And people who wanted to sell the product would put wax in the cracks, and then you couldn't see them unless you lifted them up to the light and you could see every crack. That's a good definition of sincere, is without wax. And when our life is put up to the light of Christ Jesus, it shows the cracks. So we need to have a sincere faith, one without cracks. We need to be careful that what we are is authentic, and we pass that on to our children. Very necessary. Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother had the same faith and passed it on to Timothy. And Timothy learned and loved God and grew in that faith and became a pastor. What a wonderful thought. Timothy. Now I'm going to try to unravel and pull together just a number of these things. His grandmother and mother were wonderful, but just think about it. A grandmother lived a sincere faith in front of her daughter. That daughter followed her mother's example and developed a sincere faith as well. That would be Lois and Eunice, or in reverse. The daughter became a mother and showed her sincere faith to her son, Timothy. Timothy believed in Christ Jesus, watched, learned, and grew in his sincere faith, and that's when he then became the pastor that Paul was writing to. And this morning when I got up, I was struggling just with the day, with the restrictions, with all of the things, and I just was feeling a little bit down about it. And I picked up my devotional for that day, and it was taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it said, preach the word in season or out of season. Folks, this is an out of season day. But we're still to preach the word. And that, I trust, we continue to do. So grandmas, wherever you are, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Or your great-grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren, whatever the case may be. But don't give up on them. They need to know that you are a witness of a sincere faith, you are a faithful praying person, and that you keep them before the Lord. Don't quit. And mothers, don't quit on your children. Don't give up. They still need your witness of a sincere faith. They still need to know that you're praying for them. Remember, you need to keep them before God. And if they don't know the Lord, keep praying that they will come to Him. So I guess there's just some simple questions. Do you have a sincere faith in Christ Jesus? I don't know who's watching online. I know all the ones that are here that you already have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. But maybe you're watching today and you have never realized that without Jesus Christ in your life, you are lost. Lost means that you have no hope of being with God. You also need to realize there's only two places to spend eternity. One is with God in His heaven. The other is in a place called hell, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the only alternatives. You need to think about that. If you have not received Christ, you can today. You can confess your sin to him. Confess means just tell him that you agree with him, that my behavior is sinful. What I've been doing is wrong. And I know you're the only one who can forgive me. And you can ask him to come into your heart and life and change you, and he will. But you have to do it by faith. You have to believe that he died in your place on that cross. You have to believe that he paid for your sin, but it's only your gift if you take it and receive it. I'm amazed that I haven't found people who have Christmas gifts sitting in their house still unwrapped. Addressed to them, but still unwrapped. They always open them. Why would you know that God is offering you a gift of eternal life and you just leave it? Doesn't make sense, does it? Pray and ask God. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and change you. He will. We're also told that the older women are to teach and train the young women to give instruction in wise behavior and good judgment. There's so much for us that we can do to honor God when it comes to parenting. I hope that something in this will just bless you today and encourage you to go on with God. Don't let up. Hang in there. If you get discouraged, go to his word and ask him to give you something to encourage you and build you up. Because he loves you. He cares for us. He is faithful. He can be trusted. How wonderful he is. I'm going to pray and close with my favorite benediction, if I remember it all. I didn't turn to it, so let me pray. Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for each one who has been a part of this service, whether we can see each other or not. But thank you. Thank you for these words that remind us that we have a very important responsibility as a mother or a father to raise our children to your glory. May these few stammering thoughts in some way encourage us in that responsibility. We know that you are faithful and you will accomplish your purpose in us, through us, in our children as you bring them to yourself. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. God bless. Have a great day. Celebrate your mom. Bless her in some way, as Martin said at the very beginning. Even if you're not able to go and visit, just let them know you love them. Have a great day.